Come, you need a bowl of soup. I have some on now, if these feather brains who do what scarcely passes for cooking haven't ruined it with too much pepper. The welter of cooks and help caught the words and kept their heads down, applying their attention to their task. The sounds of whisks and spoons on bowls stepped up. Men picked up sacks and hurried away. Brushes worked at pots with greater zeal. Butter hissed in hot pans, and bread in ovens and meat on spits suddenly needed checking.
I don't have time right now, Mr. Sanderholt.
But I have things I must tell you. Important things.
I know. I have things to tell you, too, but right now I must see the council. It's urgent. I've been traveling a long time, and I'm exhausted, but I must see the council before I rest. We will talk tomorrow.
Mistress Sanderholt couldn't resist another hug.
Of course, child. Rest well. We will talk tomorrow.
Caelan took the shortest route through the immense hall used for important ceremonies and celebrations. Fires in the large, magnificent fireplaces set around the room between fluted columns sent shadows of herself spiraling around her as she crossed the green slate floor. The room was empty now, allowing her footsteps to echo overhead from the intricate Lierne vaulting with the wave-like sweeping ribs. Her father used to set thousands of walnuts and acorns, representing troops, all over the floor of this room to teach her battle tactics. She turned down the hall at the far end toward the corridor to the council chambers. In the confessor's private gallery, groups of four glossy black marble columns to each side supported a progression of polychrome vaults. At the end, before the council chambers, was a round, two-story high pantheon dedicated to the memory of heroines, the founding mother confessors. Their portraits, in frescoes between the seven massive pillars ranging to the skylight, were twice life-size. Caelan always felt like a pretender to the post in the presence of the seven stern faces that overlooked the room. She felt they were saying, "And who are you, Caelan Amnell, to think you could be the mother confessor?" Knowing the histories of those heroines only made her feel all the more inadequate. Grabbing both brass levers, she threw the tall mahogany doors open and marched into the council chambers. A huge dome capped the enormous room. At the far end, the main vault was decorated with an ornate fresco celebrating the glory of Magda Syros, the first mother confessor. Her fingers were touching the back of the hand of her wizard, Merit, who had laid down his life to protect her. Together, now, for all time in the colorful fresco, the two oversaw the mother confessors who followed and sat in the first chair, and their wizards. Between the colossal gold capitals of the columns thrusting up around the room were sinuous, polished mahogany railings at the edge of balconies that overlooked the elegant chamber. The arched openings, set at intervals around the room and leading up to the balconies, were decorated with sculpted stuccos of heroic scenes. Beyond were windows looking out over the courtyards. Round windows around the lower edge of the dome also let light into the glistening chamber. At the far end was the semicircular dais where the counselors sat, behind an elaborate curved desk. The opulent first chair in the center was the tallest. A clump of men were gathered around the first chair. By the numbers, Caelan judged about half the council to be present. As she strode across long swaths of sunlight on the patterned marble floor, the heads began to follow her progress. Someone was sitting in the first chair. Although not enforced in recent times, it was a capital offense for a counselor to take the first chair, as it was considered tantamount to a declaration of revolution. The conversation hushed as she approached. It was High Prince Fyron of Kelton sitting in the chair. His feet were up on the desk, and he didn't take them down as he watched her draw near. His eyes were on her, but he was listening to a man with smoothed-down dark hair and beard, streaked with a touch of gray, leaning over, whispering to him. The man's hands were in the opposite sleeves of his plain robes. Strange, she thought, for an advisor to be dressed so, like a wizard. Prince Fyron lifted his eyebrows in delight.
Mother Confessor!
With deliberate care, he took his polished boots down and came to his feet. He put his hands to the desk and leaned over, looking down.
So good to see you.
Before, Caelan had always had a wizard. Now she had none. No protection. She could not afford to appear timid or vulnerable. She glared up at Prince Fyron. If I ever again catch you in the chair of the Mother Confessor, I will kill you. He straightened with a smirk.
You would use your power on a counselor?
I will slit your throat with my knife if I have to. The man in the plain robes watched her with unmoving, dark eyes. The other counselors blanched. Prince Phiron pulled his dark blue coat open and rested a hand on his hip.
Mother Confessor, I meant no offense. You have been gone for a long time. We all thought you were dead. There has been no confessor in the palace for...
What?
He looked to a few of the other men.
4, 5, 6 months?
Hand still on his hip, he held his other out and gave a bow.
I meant no offense, Mother Confessor. Your chair is returned to you, of course.
Caelan eyed the remaining men. It is late. The council will meet in full session first thing in the morning. Every counselor will be present. The Midlands is at war. Prince Phiron lifted an eyebrow.
War? On whose authority? We have not discussed such a grave matter.
Caelan swept her gaze over the counselors, letting it finally settle on Prince Phiron.
On my authority as the Mother Confessor.
Whispering broke out among the men. Prince Phiron never let his eyes leave hers. When she glowered at the men who were whispering, it sputtered out. I want every counselor here, first thing in the morning. You are adjourned, for now, gentlemen. Caelan turned on her heel and marched from the room. She didn't recognize any of the guards she saw throughout the palace. But then, she wouldn't. Zed had told her before how most of the home guard had been killed in the fall of Aedendril to Tahara. She missed the old faces. The center of the Confessor's Palace in Aedendril was dominated by a monumental 8-branched staircase, lit from 4 stories overhead by natural light that came through the glass roof. The vast square was surrounded at mid-level by arcaded corridors, their arched openings separated by polished columns of wildly variegated gold and green marble, standing on square plinth blocks, each decorated with a medallion of a past ruler of one of the lands of the Midlands. The hundreds upon hundreds of glistening, vase-shaped balusters had been turned from a mellow, yellow stone that seemed to glow from within. The square newels, made of a dusky brown granite, were nearly as tall as she, and each was capped with a gold-leafed lamp. Florid carvings in stone covered expansive panels under the complex bands of dental moldings that ran in mitered bands over the tops of the capitals. The center landing held statues of 8 Mother Confessors. Caelan had seen modest palaces that would fit within the space the staircase occupied. The monumental staircase and the room that held it had taken 40 years to build, the expense borne entirely by Kelton in partial recompense for their opposition to the joining of the lands into the Midlands and the war it spawned. It was also decreed that no leader of Kelton could ever be honored with a medallion at the base of the columns. The staircase was dedicated to the people of the Midlands and was to honor them, not those who built it, as penalty. Kelton was now a powerful land of the Midlands in good standing, and Caelan thought it foolish to rebuke a people for something their ancestors had done centuries ago. As she reached the central landing and turned up the second flight toward her room, she saw a phalanx of servants waiting at the top of the stairs. They all bowed as one when her eyes fell on them. She thought it must look absurd. Nearly 30 sparkling, combed, and buffed people in clean, crisp uniforms, all bowing to a filthy woman in wolf hides, carrying a bow and heavy pack. Well, this could only mean one thing. Word of her arrival had swept through the whole of the palace already. There wasn't likely to be a gardener in the farthest greenhouse that didn't by now know the Mother Confessor was home.
Rise, my children, Caelan said when she reached the top of the stairs.
They moved back to make way for her. And then it started.
Would the Mother Confessor like a bath? Would the Mother Confessor like a massage? Would the Mother Confessor like her hair washed and brushed? Would the Mother Confessor like her nails buffed? Would the Mother Confessor care to take any petitioners? Would the Mother Confessor like to see any advisors? Would the Mother Confessor like any letters written? Would the Mother Confessor like, wish, want, need, or require a whole list of things?
Caelan addressed the mistress of the maidservants.
Bernadette, I would like a bath. Nothing else, just a bath.
2 women rushed off to see to the bath. Mistress Bernadette's eyes made an involuntary flick down at Caelan's attire.
Would the Mother Confessor like to have any of her clothes mended or cleaned?
Caelan thought about the blue dress in her pack.
I guess I have a few things that need cleaning.
She thought about all the rest of her clothes, most soaked with blood from one battle or another.
I guess I have a lot of things that need to be washed.
Yes, Mother Confessor.
And would you like me to lay out your white dress for tonight?
Tonight?
Mistress Bernadette reddened.
Runners have already been sent to King's Row, Mother Confessor. Everyone will want to welcome the Mother Confessor home. Kaelin groaned. She was dead tired. She didn't want to greet people, just to tell women how fine their hair looked all pinned and decorated, or men how fine the cut of their coat was, or to listen patiently to supplications that invariably involved the distribution of funds and always sought to prove that the appellant was in no way seeking advantage, but only relief from the inequitable situation in which he was mired. Mistress Bernadette gave her a corrective look, as she had done when Kaelin was little, as if to say, "Look here, young lady, you have obligations, and I expect no trouble about it." What she said, though, was, "Everyone has been fraught with concern over the safe return of the Mother Confessor. It would do their hearts good to see you safe and well." Kaelin doubted that. What Mistress Bernadette really meant was that it would do Kaelin good to remind people that the Mother Confessor was still alive and in charge. Kaelin sighed.
"Of course, Bernadette. Thank you for reminding me people have kept me in their hearts and been worried."
Mistress Bernadette smiled as she bowed her head.
"Yes, Mother Confessor."
As the rest of the servants rushed off, Kaelin leaned toward Mistress Bernadette.
"I remember when you would have added a swat on my behind for having to remind me of things."
Mistress Bernadette's smile returned.
"I think you are too smart now for that, Mother Confessor."
She rubbed an invisible spot from the back of her hand.
"Mother Confessor, did you bring any of the other confessors home with you? Will any of the others be returning soon?"
Kaelin's features slid into her confessor's face, as her mother had taught her.
"I'm sorry, Bernadette. I thought you knew. They are all dead. I am the last living confessor."
Mistress Bernadette's eyes filled with tears as she whispered a prayer.
"May the good spirits be with them always."